This is Capital Insider, an insider's guide to Oklahoma politics and policy. I'm Dick Pryor with eCapital News Director Sean Ashley. The State Capitol building has been closed for restoration work for several days, and the special session is still stalemated, with no announcements about any deal to fix the state's $215 million budget hole. What is happening is that the three state health agencies affected are making plans for severe cuts in services due to loss of funding. One of those is the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services, whose commissioner is Terry White. Commissioner White, you have announced your department is planning to eliminate funding for many outpatient services due to the loss of about one-fourth of the agency's budget. How much money do you expect to lose, and what will be cut?
We were appropriated $75 million out of the revolving fund that held the tobacco tax money. That's 23% of our budget. That $75 million is gone. We have to make the $75 million of cuts over a six-month period, which basically, instead of being 23% of the budget for the year, over 6 months is 46% of our budget. That's half. So we are forced into a position where we basically have to eliminate half of the services we provide to Oklahomans. When we look at it from that angle, those people who are in inpatient psychiatric care get there because they're a danger to themselves or someone else currently. That's who's in inpatient psychiatric care. They have become so acutely ill, they're basically at risk of harming themselves, suicide, or potentially harming someone else. So we have to preserve those services first. If we eliminated those, you can imagine how quickly things would go awry and negative consequences, whether it was suicides or public safety risks. So we have to look at outpatient. In order to get to $75 million, we will have to eliminate every outpatient service that we provide in the state of Oklahoma. And I don't mean just our state-operated, because we have very few state-operated services. The vast majority are provided by private contractors, the vast majority. In fact, when we look at the providers that are going to be affected, it's about 700 providers. Almost 700 of them are private entities. The only service we will be able to preserve in the community is medications. People will be able to continue to get their psychotropic medications. Other than that, all outpatient services will be gone. That still doesn't get us to $75 million. We still have to look for something else. And in addition to that, what we will be eliminating is what is called psychiatric residential treatment for children. It's one step down from acute. There is no equivalent in the adult world. So that service will be gone as well. That's several hundred beds that are serving children with psychiatric needs and residential treatment gone. So what will be left is a system where we have acute psychiatric inpatient beds for adults and children. We will have crisis beds for adults and children. We will have medications on an outpatient basis, and we will have the residential substance abuse treatment beds, which is the highest level of care you have for someone with addiction needs. Basically, Oklahoma will be providing beds and meds, and that's all that will be available.
And about how many people will be affected by this?
This affects about 189,000 of our fellow Oklahomans. Those are adults and children. Those are people who are accessing outpatient services so that they are engaged in a full and productive life. Because of the outpatient services they're receiving, they're working. They're raising their families. They're engaged in communities of faith and part of the community. That's the majority of that group. There's also a small portion of the group, although it's a very important portion of the group, about 4,600 of the folks who are in that 189,000 are in a drug court or a mental health court. Those services are no longer available for those programs. That means our PAC teams are gone, our programs of assertive community treatment for those adults with the most severe mental illnesses who will often spend hundreds of days in a year in a hospital or in a jail cell without these services. Our Systems of Care program, which is our national award-winning program for children with the most complex mental health needs. It's actually part of the program that is helping with the Pinnacle Plan for DHS foster children or DHS custody kids who are struggling with severe mental health needs. The services for those programs are gone because all of those are are outpatient services.
The department is also losing federal money.
We will lose federal match. When you look at the money that we spend on outpatient for anyone who has Medicaid eligibility, we're able to pull down a federal match for those dollars. So while we're losing $75 million in state dollars, the additional hit is another $106 million federal dollars. So the total hit to the system is approximately $181 million. And you can see pretty quickly how that affects 189,000 Oklahomans.
Are any other options feasible?
The only option that we have is that we need the legislature, who I know is many of the, no one, I don't believe anyone at the Capitol wants to see these cuts go into place at the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. But the fact is, without legislative action, they do go into place. They do go into place if the legislature does not act. If they act before the first week in November, we don't even have to start the cut process. Because to do the cut process, we have certain public notifications and rules we have to post, all of those administrative processes. If they will act before the first week in November, we don't even have to start down that path. If they don't, we have to start down that path the first week in November, and the cuts will go into effect during December and January. If they can act before December or January, even if we've started the process, we can stop it. But if not, those cuts will go into effect in December and January.
Based on the conversations we're hearing at the Capitol, they'll probably come to some sort of an agreement, but you probably won't get all $75 million back. Is there a magic number somewhere in there for you where you still have to make cuts, but the cuts are not as bad?
At $75 million, it has to be a sizable investment to stave off the majority of these cuts. But we were asked to prepare scenarios early on for a 3% cut and a 5% cut. At a 3% cut, we lose about $10 million, which is still significant because we lose the federal match associated with that. So the total cut ends up being over $20 million. So at a 3% cut, we would have to make a choice between, not all of these things would happen, but we'd have to make a choice between basically eliminating about half of our drug courts and mental health courts, all of our PAC teams, and that still wouldn't be enough just to get to the 3%. We could eliminate all of the systems of care programs. We still have some pretty dire choices to make. And the reason for that is this agency, and it's not the fault of the current legislature, although they do have the responsibility to fix the problem now, but we have been underfunded for decades. So right now, only one out of every three Oklahomans who needs help can get help. And we also have the smallest administrative cost of any agency in our state. We spend only about 2.5% of our budget on administration, which means over 97% of our budget is spent in direct services to Oklahomans in need. And so when we face cuts, we truly have no fat left. We haven't had fat left in easily a decade. These are real services to real Oklahomans, and believe it or not, they're not expensive. We can provide services on an outpatient basis, which is the backbone of the system, and most people can and do recover with outpatient services for about $2,000 a year per person. Prison, for example, is about $19,000 a year per person. One child in the foster care system is about $21,000 a year just to take care of that child. So it's not expensive, but when you make cuts at $10 million and it only costs $2,000 to treat someone, that's a lot of people affected. Even though they're saying it's a 3% cut, it's still a lot of Oklahomans.
A lot of people may not understand that cumulative effect and the toll it takes over time.
So when you look at what's happened over time, if you look back probably 80 years, there were some pretty strong articles floating around in the media at that time, in the newspapers at that time, about how we were funded about 46th per capita in the United States for mental health. This state wasn't spending a lot of money to treat persons with mental illness. Today, we're funded 46th per capita for mental health. Now, that's not to say, obviously, we spend more today than we did 80 years ago, but compared to to other states, we're still at the bottom of the barrel. Unfortunately, we have one of the highest rates of mental illness and addiction in the United States. We usually are ranked second or third. So we have great need and very little resources. We do an amazing job with the resources we have. I have to, commend our providers across the state. Those private provider partnerships and our few state-operated services that are left deliver amazing, in fact, nationally recognized quality services. But we only let one out of three Oklahomans in the door to access those.
This comes at a time when those mental health and substance abuse issues are in crisis.
Absolutely. What we know today is that because there are not enough services to reach Oklahomans in need, people often, their disease progresses. This is just like heart disease or diabetes or asthma. If you can't get medical care for those diseases, they get worse. They're progressive diseases. But if you provide medical care, people can and do recover. Well, mental illness and addiction, brain disease is no different. If people can't get treatment, their disease progresses. And while it might initially be mild depression, it may turn into major depression without access to care. Major depression that goes untreated can turn into suicidal thoughts. Suicidal thoughts are what end a person up in a crisis center or an inpatient psychiatric hospital, when simple outpatient services could have made a difference.
Even with limited resources the last several years, I've heard a number of your budget presentations. And as you mentioned, you have award-winning services being provided. You all have done a lot with limited resources. Does this risk undoing some of that infrastructure and causing a longer-term effect down the road?
If these cuts, if $75 million worth of cuts pushed into 6 months time frame, so half of the services in the state would be eliminated, we are going, I cannot tell you the toll that would take in terms of undoing. It will undo all progress made in the last 10 years, but it's more like undoing all of the progress, slow as it may have been at times, of the last 50 to 60 years. There will be no outpatient services left. The only thing people will be able to receive is medication or a psychiatric bed. That is not recovery. That is not the Oklahoma standard. That is not what we would allow to happen for any other disease. We would not allow everyone who were struggling with diabetes or heart disease to have to spend their life in a hospital, because that's all that will be available. This cannot happen unless we are, I can't even, it's almost difficult for me to fathom what our state would look like with all those national award-winning programs gone.
And you'll lose service providers. I mean, some of these people will have to go to other states or just move into another field of work and won't be available down the line.
There was a press conference earlier this week where there were announcements made about what these cuts would look like. I obviously spoke at the press conference, but there were two providers who spoke, and one of them made clear when asked the question in follow-up by a reporter, what actually happens to your organization? And she said, my doors will shut. The business I have built, the business, it was one of our private contractors, the business I have built cannot sustain cuts of this magnitude. We will close our doors.
This is an interconnected system. So a network of providers help people through their various issues pertaining to health in various ways. If this kind of thing were to happen, how does that affect the other agencies, the other departments, the other staff members that are trying to provide services?
I think the other directors of other state agencies, including Stephen Buck with the Office of Juvenile Affairs, Ed Lake at the Department of Human Services, Joe Albaugh at the Department of Corrections, have been trying to make clear this week that what will happen to their agencies is increased demand. And what's awful about that is that it's increased demand for deeper end services that end up being more expensive to taxpayers in the end, and most important, end up being tragic consequences, meaning for if we have a kid who could be receiving outpatient treatment and stay in school and do well and move on to a full and productive life and head towards college, but loses their mental health and substance abuse services and now becomes entangled with the Office of Juvenile Affairs and has a juvenile criminal record, it changes the trajectory of their life. If we have a family, a mom who has been struggling with addiction but is doing well, is in treatment and loses the services that are allowing her to stay, helping her stay clean and sober, and begins to use again, and then DHS becomes involved and we're looking at a neglect situation, and those kids now are taken into foster care. The trauma of being removed from a parent is something that can have significant effects on changing the course of that child's life. Someone who has been fighting this disease, struggling to and but doing well with their mental illness or their addiction, that now becomes entangled in the criminal justice system because they lost those services and ends up in a jail cell and ultimately the Department of Corrections, obviously their life has changed forever. These are all more expensive consequences, and the way that it will destroy lives is almost impossible to quantify.
So there is a ripple effect that stretches into communities. Loss of jobs, damage to the economy, the infrastructure, and it takes a human toll as well.
It does. One of the statements that I've heard provider make over the last week is, this isn't just about starting something like a rate cut that could be fixed easily. This is the ending of outpatient services. This is dismantling an infrastructure that has taken decades to put into place, gone in less than 6 months. And even if after that we try to fix it, we can, but it will take longer. You can't put it back that fast. When people have moved on to other careers, other fields of work, possibly left the state, but more than likely, and what's really frightening is the idea that some people might become unemployed and have trouble finding a job, and then might find themselves in a situation where they are struggling to make ends meet. And what if the folks that actually used to provide the services end up in a situation where they can't pay their bills? Thinking about how to undo that is mind-boggling. And I think that in some ways that's why maybe the public and the legislature have been able to fail to grasp the magnitude of what we're talking about. As the commissioner, it's almost impossible for me to wrap my mind around what we're discussing, but these are significant, significant blows to a fragile mental health system.
What are legislators telling you about the funding situation?
What I'm hearing from legislators is that they want a solution. They don't want these cuts to go into place. The part that I don't think any of us have heard yet is, so what is the agreement and compromise to get there? I believe legislators are working hard. I believe that they are offering plans. The problem is they are not agreeing to one another's plan. And so while there may be 100 plans out there, if not one of those can be reached by agreement, where both chambers pass it and signed by the governor, this is still what goes into effect. And so what we are imploring legislators to do is to compromise and agree on a plan that staves these cuts off.
Everything you've said today removes this from the balance sheet. We're talking about people, not simply $75 million. In light of the press conference you referenced, are some of them beginning to hear that now? Are they realizing that people in their communities and who are receiving services and those service providers are going to be tremendously impacted?
I do believe they are. The question that I don't know the answer to yet, and I think all Oklahomans are waiting to see, does that then motivate legislators into action or compromise, or do they then dig in deeper into their current positions, which doesn't allow for a solution to come forward?
Do you think there will be a solution in time by November 1st?
I have to hope there's going to be a solution before November 1st, because these consequences are too catastrophic. It's not just about the economy, as you said. It's not just about the fact that this infrastructure, in terms of funding and people losing their jobs and being difficult to rebuild, that we are talking about life and death for Oklahomans who rely on these services. If these cuts go into effect because there is no action and no agreement, we will see an increase in suicides. We will see an increase in overdoses. We will see an increase in arrests. We will see an increase in people who spend time in jail and ultimately end up in the Department of Corrections. We will see an increase in foster care. And those can't happen. That's not our state, so I have to believe they're going to find a solution.
Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services Commissioner Terry White, thank you.
Very much.
That's Capital Insider. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.